Good singing this morning, and we do want to let others know about God's redeeming grace. He who has redeemed us is able to redeem others as well. And so we thank God for the good songs this morning. Please take your Bibles this morning, and please turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, looking at verses 5 through 8 together this morning. Thank you to those who were praying for me last week. I forgot to really mention much of it last Sunday, but I want to thank those of you who prayed for me a couple weeks ago as I was gone. I was able to take a seminary class down at Virginia Beach Theological Seminary, where I had gone to seminary before, and the focus was on preaching through Old Testament wisdom and poetry books. And Proverbs is one of those books, and Proverbs has been on my mind for a good bit as I think of this semester's class. And this passage we're looking at this morning, where we're blessed to look at, is probably one of the most quoted, most memorized sections in the book of Proverbs. We'll look at Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And I'll read the passage together. Please follow along in your Bibles. And I'll start in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll read down through verse 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." Let's pray together as we come to this beautiful section of God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are blessed to be able to have your Word readily available to us this morning. We thank you for the blessing of your grace, your special revelation of giving us your written Holy Scriptures. Thank you for how they guide us in truth, how they teach us about who you are and how we can have a relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that as we come to your word in this part of our worship service, as we look to your word and we look to your truth, I pray that my words would be clear, my words would be in line with the truth of your word. I pray that I will not speak any error, but Father, that your spirit will guide our hearts in truths and our minds in truth. We thank you that we can trust you. We thank you for the wisdom that you promise to give to those who worship you your way. Father, I pray that we would have that desire to worship you correctly, to worship you your way, to think correctly of you, and to live in light of your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Or as the ESV says, he will make straight your paths. These two verses, as I said, are probably the most memorized passages of Scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs is a beautiful book, and yet there's challenges in reading through it at times as we try to understand each of these Proverbs. But in the first 11 chapters, Solomon, King Solomon, as he's writing, is writing to his son, probably just like David tried to instruct Solomon when he was a young man to fear the Lord, to know the Lord, not just with a head knowledge, but with a true relationship, and to live in light of the wisdom that God gives to those who worship him his way. This passage of Scripture has been comforting to many people, even those who are unsaved at times. These words that we read this morning are comforting words to God's people because they are true. And God always blesses those who obey his word and worship him with a correct spirit of worship. And why does God do this? Because he loves those who are his children with an everlasting love. But this passage we look at this morning is also words of gentle warning, gentle admonition to God's people to never be deceived into thinking that they don't need to be 100% dependent upon God and upon his wisdom. The devil is smart enough to know that a committed Christian will seldom throw to the wind God's wisdom and just totally abandon following God's word at face value. But Satan knows that if he can just tempt us to trust God 80% of the time, but some of the time, just do it your own way. Remember with Adam and Eve in the garden? He didn't say to Eve at the tree of knowledge, good and evil. He didn't say, well, just forget God and turn your back on him and hate him. He just said, hey, just, you know, in this sense, it's okay. You just do whatever you want. And you'll be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Well, we want to be like God. We want to be godly, but not Satan's way, but God's way. Because Satan's way will never lead us. The devil will never lead us to love God. He will lead us down a wrong path. As we'll see in Proverbs, and I want to get ahead of myself, but Proverbs is filled with calling the believer in God to choose the right path. There's two paths that we'll see as you go through Proverbs, you read through it. There's the path of wisdom, the roadway, the way that is right. And those who fear the Lord walk in that path and they have wisdom to go forward. There's another path, the path of folly. And you'll see it contrasted throughout, especially the first 11 chapters of Proverbs, where wisdom is personified as a woman, Lady Wisdom, calling for us to follow wisdom. And there's other woman, the strange woman, Dame Folly, we could call her, who encourages us to go the wrong path. And God encourages us to know true wisdom by fearing him and following him. These words we just read this morning are a merciful and gracious opportunity from God to even those who are far off from him. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel in your heart that you are far off from God. We sing these wonderful hymns of praise to God, but in your heart, perhaps you know that that's not some words you can sing. Because you know in your heart you are far from God. This passage encourages you to no longer go your own way, but to turn to trusting the Lord, turning away from evil and turning to the Lord, turning to Christ, as we'll see as we go through. Those who have never bowed the knee to God in worship and who have tried to live their own way, they don't have to go that way anymore. There's always an opportunity by God's grace for the lost to follow the command we see in verse 7. Don't be wise in your own wise, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, we have that opportunity in this life, right? Once we pass on from this life, though, that opportunity is no longer there. Choose correctly. Choose to fear the Lord. These are words of warning and admonition to those who think that they will be just fine on their own way, that they can just go through their entire earthly lives, either living life their own way or just giving a lip service to God, saying, I trust you, Lord, but I really don't trust the Lord with all my heart. And those people's pathways may look enticingly pleasurable for a season, for a moment, but from God's perspective, their path is not straight, but is devilishly crooked, and sadly is taking them down the broad road that leads to eternal destruction. When we think of roads that are traveled, one of the broadest roads and the most traveled roads that has been available to the human race for many, many years is the well-traveled road labeled by the world as worship. This road appears spiritual to many and appears worthy of respect to many. It appears plausible, superior to many people, since so many countless people are going down that broad road called worship. It appears wise and peaceful because this particular road that the world sees as worship is not calling people to worship the same God, but whichever God pleases them, whichever God allows them to feel good about themselves, whatever makes them feel whole or content or at one with themselves. Have you heard that? Some will say there's many pathways to God. Just worship whoever you feel is right. But this path, while it promises to be a highway to paradise, is in essence a highway to hell. Because it promises eternal life without giving the truth about eternal life is received through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because he is the only way, the only pathway, the only truth, the only life, the only way any of us can come to a saving knowledge of the Father. His way, Jesus' way, is incredibly narrow. It is the only way to our Heavenly Father, who is our Creator, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of worship, the one who alone is worthy of all worship and glory. As we have observed over the past several Sunday mornings, I want to take a couple moments just quickly to review, and I know we need to move on. But as we've observed over the past several Sunday mornings, as we've looked at biblical worship, and as we looked at the blueprint for God's church, we've looked at the reality that the danger for us today is not that we don't worship, because all of us worship, right? We are wired, as one author said, we are wired for worship because God has created us to worship Him. He created us for worship, for a worshipful relationship with Him from the very beginning. So the danger is not that we don't worship. The danger is that we worship wrongly. That we, in our natural propensity as sinners, we tend to worship the wrong things or the wrong thing. And as Christians, we daily wage this battle, do we not? Of the inward, outward battle between the passions of our sinful flesh that still resides within us and the passions of the Holy Spirit who is indwelling us and calling us to worship God correctly, to think about God correctly. And there's this battle. Have you felt it this past week? I hope that you have. Because as the Apostle Paul says, it is a good warfare that we must wage every day. If we profess to be a Christian and there's no struggle in our heart to live for God in a darkened world, then it could be that we really don't know God as we ought. Maybe we don't have His wisdom in fearing Him as we ought. But God calls us to worship Him His way instead of our own. And biblical, godly, Christian worship then begins, must begin, with salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And it is primarily a mindset, a way of thinking correctly that has progressively grown and matured and clearly evidenced as we obey God's word. And we need heavenly godly wisdom to live this way, don't we? We can't do it on our own. And this passage reminds us of that. It gives us great encouragement. We need heavenly, godly, holy wisdom from God to be able to know how to think correctly, how to think correctly about His glory, His worship that He calls us to worship Him with. The blessed overarching truth from our passage this morning is that God delights, He delights to give wisdom to those who truly desire to correctly worship Him. If we were to leave this morning with one thing from this passage of Scripture, it would be this: God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship Him. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship Him. Now, get the context of this. We're coming right in the middle of a chapter and several chapters in. Go back very briefly, if you would, to chapter 1 of Proverbs and look at verse 7. For sake of time, we're not going to read all of this. And if I had more time, we'd read all of chapter 2. But we don't have time for that this morning. But I'd like to look at a couple passages that lead us up to where we come in chapter 3, verse 5. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, at the very beginning, we see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, but those who fear the Lord, that is where knowledge truly begins, true knowledge. If you go to chapter 2, in verse 1, we start to see this phrase, my son, and it goes through the beginning chapters of Proverbs as Solomon encourages his son, who will one day be a leader in Israel, and many think that this book of Proverbs is designed just for that, to help prepare the men of Israel, women as well, but the men of Israel specifically, to lead their families well, or to lead their country well, to have wisdom from God. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver, search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at chapter 2, verse 7, or verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. I'd love to read through the rest of the chapter. We don't have time for that this morning. But as we come to chapter 3, this section begins again with my son. Let's look at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship Him. And though we don't see the words wisdom even used in chapter 3, that is what is encompassing this entire passage. This is what wisdom, true wisdom, looks like, to fear God and to receive His wisdom and His instruction. This morning, we should ask the question, well, if God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship Him, then what does it look like? How can I correctly worship God? Because we want His wisdom. I pray that we do. We want to think correctly about God. I think this morning in our passage, we see two clear realities about worshiping God correctly. First of all, we come to chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We can see, and I hope these words aren't too small, in verse 5 and 6, we see that we correctly worship God when we trust Him with every aspect of our being. And that's a high calling. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. That picture of leaning is like a crutch. I remember when I had my knee surgery in high school, and boy, I needed those crutches because I had blown up my knee pretty bad and messed the meniscus, and I wasn't supposed to put any pressure on my knee for 6 months. It wasn't a lot of fun, but I was leaning everything on those crutches. And as I got a little better, I could move quicker, but I had to lean because the doctor said, don't put any pressure on your knee. You might ruin everything that we've tried to do in there. And I needed that crutch. I leaned on it. Here the picture is leaning, but the picture here, verse 5 says, but don't lean on your understanding. Don't be self-reliant. There are four clear implications from verses 5 and 6. And verse 6 also says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Very quickly, four implications. I've appreciated the ministry of John MacArthur, and in one of his books I was reading, he was talking about how he likes to preach. And as he was preaching, he says, I'm not so much concerned about application as I am about implications. Because if we understand the implications of this truth of God's word, then the application should be very obvious. For instance, someone says, your house is on fire. What's the implication? I need to leave. You don't have to say, and I'm going to give you three reasons how you should leave your house. Well, maybe it depends on what the fire is, but you know I got to get out. You know the implications of the moment. There are four implications from this truth that if we correctly worship God, that means that we're trusting Him with every aspect of our being. First of all, we see in the first part of verse 5, this means if we are living this way, that this means that we are trusting God with all our heart. To the Hebrew mind and the Hebrew writer and even in poetry, the heart is an embodiment of your being, the core of you. Even as they would talk about your bowels, the insides. With all your heart, with all of who you are, this means that we are called to trust God with all our heart. And if we're doing that, that means that we are worshiping Him His way. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the second implication we see is in verse 5b, do not lean on your own understanding. This means that we are fully relying on God rather than relying on our own understanding. And that is where the devil is going to try to trip us up over and over, isn't he? Did God really say this, Eve? Adam, I know Adam was there, but Adam eats of it. Does God really know all things? Does God really know the situation you're going through right now? Because it doesn't seem like He's answering your prayer the way you'd like. Satan likes to put all kinds of thoughts to cause us to lean, and not maybe even fully lean, but to partially lean. Here, the scripture tells us in verse 6, do not lean on your understanding, not even a little bit. Doesn't mean that we don't need to think correctly, but don't, when you make decisions, lean just on what you want. Rely on the wisdom of God. Rely on Him. Look to Him for truth and wisdom. This is maybe an era before, but Frank Sinatra's signature song, titled My Way. It has a very catchy tune, but it repeats that phrase over and over again. I did it my way. He had a voice like no other, right? It was written, those words, by Paul Anka at the close of Sinatra's showbiz career. Sinatra was like, I'm done. I'm done with showbiz. He was tired of the probably emptiness of it. And he said, I want you to write me one more song to this man, to Paul Anka. He wrote these words. And this is what Sinatra sang. And now the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step among the byway, and more, much, much more, I did it my way. Yet there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall and did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got, if not himself? Then he has not to say the things that he truly feels, and not the words of someone who kneels. Let the record show, I took all the blows and did it my way. Isn't that emblematic of the world? Here, Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The song talks a lot about paths. It's said later that Sinatra's daughter said years later, he grew to dislike that song. He actually grew very regretful of that song as it came across as self-serving and self-indulgent, which it does. Sadly, Sinatra's last words to his wife before he died was, I'm losing. A far better template for life would be this proverb, is this proverb, or even a hymn like Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, your strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God calls us in this passage to rely on him fully, not relying on our way. Because there is a way that leads to death, Scripture says. The way that leads to life is by pursuing the fear of the Lord. We see that we are to trust God with all our heart. That's an implication of this first reality of correctly worshiping him. We are to be fully relying on him. But look at verse 6, the first part of verse 6. This also means that we are growing in our knowledge of God each day. When we correctly worship God by trusting him with all our being, it means that we're growing each day in our knowledge of him. Verse 6 says, in all your ways, here's the ways, in all the ways that you travel this life, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge you see in there is the word knowledge. I think a better translation would be, in all your ways, know him. Know him more and more and more every day. That's what it means. That's the meaning behind this Hebrew word. Know him intimately. Know God better each day, in every way, in every path, in every day, every 24-hour cycle that passes. This word knowledge implies a true, developing, growing knowledge relationship of God. I always think it's neat so many times that Sunday school mirrors well with what we're covering in the Lord sometime in our gatherings together corporately. Josh was teaching from 1 John 2 this morning, and he talked that knowing God means to be growing in our knowledge of God each day. That's not something new to 1 John. It's throughout all Scripture. I'm just going to read a couple passages. One you can turn to it because it's in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 9, verse 10. This is, again, a very familiar passage, but Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight, or perhaps your translation reads understanding. That's where true wisdom and understanding is found. God calls us to know him, know the Holy One. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, you don't need to turn there. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Job 23, verse 10, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Revelation 2, chapters 2 through 3. Remember, as Jesus, our Savior, is speaking to these churches in Revelation, and he says, I know your works, or I know your tribulation. I know where you dwell. I know your works. What a comfort. What an encouragement. And also what a conviction. He knows everything about us, and he calls us to know him more. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, a very sobering end. Probably one of the most powerful ends to a sermon that Jesus preached. And we've mentioned it here often. It's where he gives this reality that many, many will say to me in that day. And that day is the end of the age where people are judged and sent into the lake of fire. Those who don't know Christ. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Did I not do all these things in your name? I did. And Jesus will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Why? Because he didn't know them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We think of Proverbs 5, in all your ways, know him. Because if you don't know him his way, then you are not known by him for eternal life. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. From the commentaries on Proverbs, the author said, this implies that knowing God is not just obeying or submitting to him, which it is, but knowing God is a calling to discover fellowship with him and understanding of God in and through every single thing we do say and think. Acknowledge him in all your ways. When we correctly worship God, we're correctly worshiping him by trusting him with every aspect of our daily being, we are growing in our knowledge of him each day. Praise the Lord that he calls us and allows us to do that. And a fourth implication, briefly, from this first aspect of correctly worshiping God is this. This means that we are believing that God's way is always best. Look at the last part of verse 6. If you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you will not lean on your own understanding, if in all your ways you will know him better each day, he will make straight your paths. Now, this doesn't mean that you won't have difficulty. Think of Christ. Did he have an easy road? Oh, no. But did he trust his Father with all his heart? Oh, yes, he did. Did he acknowledge him in all things? Oh, yes, he did. And God gave him a straight path of wisdom for him to follow and obey. And he did it perfectly. And he set the example for us, how we look to our Father. But this means that he will make uncluttered in your mind the way you need to go. There will not be stumbling blocks in your pathway if for spiritual growth. And when you see those, God will follow you. When you see this, oh, there, it could go this way. You look to him, you're worshiping him his way. He gives you wisdom to know this is the way to go. Does it ever feel to you like sometimes you have four doors in front of you and they all kind of seem open and you're wondering which one to go through? Or maybe it seems like all four are closed and you're hoping one of them opens. But God hasn't allowed it to happen yet. The word calls us here to keep trusting him. He will make that path straight. He will allow that door to open at just the right time. And if there's a bunch open, he will show you which one to go through. Or maybe you don't go through any. You continue just waiting. But this means that we are called to believe that however he leads us, his way is always best. Especially when Satan encourages us to say, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a quicker way. God says, my way is best. Believe it. Trust in me. We live close to Hoffer Park. We're going to have the picnic on Saturday. And we live just across the water there in Royalton off Creekview Drive. Where do I live? Creekview Drive. And the sidewalk on Mill Street has been fixed. Along the way, we go walking sometimes in the mornings as a family, and there was one morning where one of us actually tripped because the sidewalk was going, but then it was disjointed, and it was stumbling, and it's not fun, especially when it's early in the morning, and you hit that and, you know, skin your knee or something. But they fixed it, and the sidewalk is actually smooth. What God is saying here is that when you trust me with everything in you and you are learning about me, you're knowing me more each day, your life, I'm not saying it'll be easy. You still got to walk the journey. You still got to walk the path, but you will know what to avoid and I will make it clear to you which path you ought to go. And when you see things ahead, I will give you wisdom to know how to smoothly pass through that time. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but he promises to guide us. As I said, throughout the book of Proverbs, there's two paths we can go. God calls us to pursue the right path. And that is the way of worshiping him correctly. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship him. We'll look at these last two verses very quickly. But we see, secondly, that if we correctly worship God, that means not only will we trust him with all our being, but as we look at verses 7 and 8, we see that when we correctly worship God, this means we are living in awe of him and we are turning away from evil. Let's read verse 7 and 8 again. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. There's four implications here as well, but we'll go through these a little quicker. When we are correctly worshiping God by living in awe of him and turning away from evil, this means first that we are pursuing godly wisdom rather than worldly wisdom. The first part of verse 7 says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't just depend on worldly wisdom to guide you, because it can only take you so far and it never takes you down the right path. It may seem to look that way, but it always ends in failure. Because we are sinful people, our world is sinful. No, God calls us to pursue godly wisdom. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but this means, secondly, as we look at the last part of verse 7, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This means that we're learning to fear the Lord as a regular way of life. A regular way of life. This fear the Lord, it means an ongoing thing. What does it mean to fear the Lord? I remember reading this growing up and I'd be like, God loves us. Does he call us to be afraid of him? Like he's this big God who's going to just smash us if we don't please him? Well, in a sense, we are called to be afraid of God and realize that he is a holy God who will punish sin, but he does it in love for his children. But this doesn't mean that there is a God in heaven waiting to just pounce on us, but this means to be in awe of who he is. One of the songs we sang this morning, How Sweet and Awesome is the Place. Originally, that word, as it was penned by Isaac Watts years ago, and you may even see this in some older hymnals, how sweet and awful is the place. But when we say awful today, it kind of sounds like, oh, I don't want that. But the awfulness of the glory of God, in the sense that it is so amazing. That's what that word used to mean. It meant awesome. God calls us to be in awesome awe of who he is. Instead of looking into our own eyes and our own wisdom, look at him and be in awe of him. Live in awe of him. Know our God well so that we say, why would I want to follow my own way? He knows all. He is good. He is holy. He is gracious. He is merciful. Oh, he's faithful. He's compassionate. He's always good. I want to follow him. It means we're learning to fear him, be in awe of him as a regular way of life. Does that happen all at once? No. But as we grow in our walk with God through his son, Jesus Christ, we learn to be more in awe of him more and more each day. And this means, thirdly, that we're learning to say no to sin. The last part of verse 7 says, turn away from evil. This means that we learn to say no to sin as a regular way of life. Doesn't mean we'll do it perfectly. It doesn't mean we'll ever get to the point where we'll never sin. There's a false teaching that's been around for many years called sinless perfectionism. That will happen one day, but when we're with the Lord in heaven, when the sin nature is taken away, I look forward to that day, free from the presence and the presence of sin and the temptation of sin. We have been freed, though, through Christ, through the power of sin. We don't have to sin anymore. We'll talk about that tonight as we come to Romans 6. But as we grow in our love with God, we're learning to say no to sin as a more regular way of life. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation or offering salvation for all people, training us. What does God's grace teach us to do? To renounce, say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present and evil age. Oh, if we're learning to say no to sin by God's grace as a regular way of life, then we're learning what it means to correctly worship God. Worship is not just something that takes place on Sunday morning. It is a 24/7 reality for the believer. That's a glorious thing. Wouldn't it be so terrible if you had to wait? Oh, I can't worship God until Sunday. I really want to worship, but I can't until Sunday. No, it's every day, every hour, every moment. But with that comes our responsibility to make sure that we are living in awe of him. And then lastly, this fourth implication of living in awe of God and turning away from evil, we see in verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh, refreshment to your bones. This means that we are again believing that God will always bless obedience to his word. Some have misconstrued this and say, well, if you ever get sick, it's because you didn't trust God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And another lie from the pit of hell is, well, if you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, you'll never get sick, or if you get sick, you'll be healed fully. That's also a lie. God has allowed his children at times to succumb to the reality of living in a broken world, but it doesn't mean that he's not good. What it means is that when we believe and follow God his way, he will always bless obedience to his word. Now here it speaks of refreshment. This may be a physical or maybe even a spiritual reality. You ever been hurt really bad or really sick? And then you get better and God renews your strength. We want to talk about renewing your strength. And you just feel like, oh, thank you, God. This is, I believe, is what the author is talking about here. If you are not wise in your own eyes, you fear the Lord, you turn away from evil, you will just be refreshed, even in a physical way. Doesn't mean that we won't have problems. Doesn't mean that we might not get cancer. Doesn't mean that we will not die one day. But what it means is our mindset will be right before God. We will have a spiritual refreshment, renewing our strength. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship him. So as we close, prepare to close this morning, I do have a couple words of application. And the first one comes straight from, they all should come from the text, right? Our application better come from God's word, not from what we think. So application first is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge God. Know him more each day, his way, and he will make our path straight. May we do that together. Here he's speaking, Solomon's speaking to an individual, but it's a calling for every individual in Christ, every follower of God who follows God his way. May we trust him his way, worship him his way. So I was thinking of, I'm a more visual person sometimes, and the beautiful reality is there's a beautiful cycle. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship him. So as we think, and if we start by worshiping God his way, and he has to do that work in our hearts as well, he has to give us that desire, but we have to obey. And as we're worshiping him his way, we're reading his word, we're following his word, that worship of God, wisdom is received. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship him, but it's not just a one-time thing. As we're growing, as we're acknowledging him, we're knowing him each day, then we see that wisdom he gives us growing and maturing by continuing to worship him. And he gives us more wisdom, and we grow in this beautiful cycle. Josh was talking about this morning again, layers and layers, he said, of knowing God, knowing his wisdom, growing in knowledge of him and fearing him. This is what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean that you just got saved from hell. It means that we've been saved to a new life that begins now and continues for all eternity. One of the saddest things is people thinking that, well, one day when I get to heaven, then I'll start really living for God. If that's what they're thinking, they're not saved. Because it's not just praying a prayer and getting a hell out of hell free card. It's worshiping God and becoming a worshiper of him now, his way, that begins now and continues for all eternity and just gets better and better as we become more like him. But there's this beautiful cycle. God loves us. He doesn't want us to get caught in a rut. Maybe today you feel like you're kind of in a rut. Maybe you feel like, I'm struggling. Maybe I haven't been in the Word. I haven't been in prayer. I haven't been gathering with God's church often, as Hebrews calls me to. And I'm just, well, maybe we need to get back to worshiping God correctly. Worshiping him his way, not our own. And receiving that heavenly wisdom, that heavenly encouragement, that strengthening, and growing in that and wanting to worship him more. I urge you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he promises to direct your steps. He gives you wisdom. I don't know if you've seen this diagram, but it's a picture of the gospel. Maybe you've seen it, or some people use it to illustrate the gospel. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of the message of Christ is this. You must believe in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else. You can't trust in your baptism or trust in your good works or trust in your finances and money you gave to the church. You can't trust in anything other than Christ alone. And if you're trusting in Jesus Christ and you're not putting your faith in anything else but him, you have everything. God promises to give you everything that you need in Christ Jesus, an eternal life. But as I think also of this illustration, it reminds me is, if you have everything, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot I put the slide in. So the gospel's message is Christ plus nothing else is everything. That's what life's all about. But the other reality of this is this. If you have everything in this world, yet you do not have saving faith in Christ alone, then you have nothing. But if you trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you don't do it your way but His way, and you trust in Him alone, then you have everything, even if you have nothing else in this world. If you have Christ, He's enough. So our last word of application would be this. No matter what comes through the front door of your life today, this week, going forward, no matter what comes through the front door of your life, keep worshiping God His way. And He will keep giving you the wisdom that you need to live victoriously in Christ for His glory. God gives wisdom to those who correctly worship Him. Are you a worshiper of God today? If you're not, as we sing in a couple moments, we're going to sing Glorify Thy Name. We're going to sing a hymn of praise to our Heavenly Father, to the Holy Spirit who indwells His church, to our Savior Jesus Christ who died for us. But maybe you're here today and you know that that's not you. Because you have continued to be wise in your own eyes, could I encourage you today? You can know Christ as your Savior. You don't have to keep doing this cycle that leads to death, but you can begin a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'd love to show you from God's Word. Maybe God's working in your heart so clearly that as we sing, you say, I can't wait another moment. I want to be saved. If you would like to go to the back or come to the front or meet me as we're singing, I would love to show you from God's Word how you can know Christ, or talk to another Christian here. Say, what must I do to be saved? What a beautiful question. And there's a wonderful answer. Maybe you're here this morning and you know Christ as your Savior, but you're with all the cares of this world and the pressure that has really come into our country even these last couple years, and just the reality of life in a broken world as a Christian, maybe your eyes have gotten a little off of where it needs to be. And God's calling you to get your mind renewed, to trust Him with all your heart. Maybe as we sing, you just want to come down to the front and pray, or maybe you just want to pray where you are, or maybe you want to go another room. I would just encourage you with this. Don't go out those doors today without being right with God in your heart and in your mind. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You have created us anew through faith in Jesus Christ to be able to glorify You. Father, thank You for inviting us to be welcome in Your presence. Father, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin and rise again so that we could have eternal life. Father, I pray that whatever work Your Spirit desires to do in our lives, I pray that You will humble us. You will not allow us to stay not kneeling before You, doing things our way. Father, may we yield, submit, surrender to living Your way, to turning from sin and turning to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.